the scene that we heard from the gospel, the presentation of the Lord, it seems so wonderful, and indeed it is. Think of it. Jesus is brought into the temple. Joseph and Mary bringing their child, who they know is the Son of God, into God's dwelling. And what a moment that is. And Simeon, the one who represents the ancient longing of Israel, who is led by the Spirit to see this moment, to hold Jesus in his hands. And he says these beautiful words, right? Now, Master, you let your servant go in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. See, it is wonderful. Jesus enters in, the light of the world entering the temple. Simeon recognizes it. And so rightly so, throughout its tradition, the church has associated this feast of the presentation with light. Light seems great. It is great. We like the light. We're scared of the darkness. Except there's more going on with light than what we often think of. See, light scatters darkness. Light exposes things. Light reveals the way things actually are. And friends, things are not as they ought to be. So let's go back to the first reading, Malachi. It starts off great. Thus says the Lord God, lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you speak, and the messengers of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Seems great. Can't wait. And then, but who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye. He will sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, that they may offer due sacrifice to the Lord. This Lord, the light, all of the sudden we realize maybe it's not this gentle, peaceful, kind, and warm presence like we think. Because light exposes things. If everything in your life was exposed to the light right now, how would you feel? Everything. How would you feel? So there's an edge to Jesus, the light of the world entering the temple. Simeon knows it. He goes on. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign of contradiction, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A sign of contradiction. Friends, that word stuck with me all week, and what a hell of a week it's been. A sign of contradiction. Contradiction. The etymology of that word is literally to speak against. To speak against. Contradiction. Jesus will be a sign of contradiction so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Again, think if the thoughts of all your hearts, think of all the thoughts in your hearts were revealed. What would that look like? Right? Jesus is going to reveal the thoughts of our hearts. He will be spoken against. Contradiction to speak against. Jesus will be spoken against. Because he, by his very presence, by his person, by his action, by his word, speaks against everything that is opposed to God. He contradicts everything in the world that is opposed to God. And so he will be contradicted because he will contradict. He has to be a sign of contradiction. Friends, because you and I are contradictions. On a personal level, I say and do one thing and then I say and do the opposite. I went to confession yesterday, like so many of you do on Saturday morning at the cathedral. As a church, as a faith community, we contradict ourselves all the time. We say and do one thing, we profess one thing, we believe one thing, and then we do the opposite. And that's on the universal level, but it's also here, right? Our faith community. Is the witness of our life credible? Is it believable? Is it coherent? Or is it contradictory? As a college, we say and profess one thing and then we do and profess the opposite. Contradiction. All over the place. Because that's the reality of sinful humanity. And so Jesus has to contradict that. Because our contradictions, my personal contradiction, ours as a faith community, ours as a college, they cause scandal. And scandal, the Greek word means stumbling block. People stumble when they see the contradictions in individual Christians, in collective Christians, in a college that proposes and proposes that Jesus is the center of it all. And so Jesus has to contradict us out of love. He contradicts us out of love. He has to speak against our tendencies to sin. He has to speak against our lack of courage. He has to speak against our desire to want what is easy and comfortable in this world. He has to contradict those desires because they are not holy desires. Who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire. Not peaceful, warm, fuzzy, good buddy Jesus. And this is the part of Christianity that we love to gloss over. That Jesus would actually be passionate enough to set things right in our hearts, in our church, at this college, that he would actually want to do that. But that we would just say, well, we just love each other. All I need to do as a Christian is just love people. Man, if you hear that, and there's nothing more that qualifies that word love, you should run the other way because no authentic follower of Jesus just loves and accepts everything about this world. Look around. What is going on in our world? What is going on in our church? What is going on in our college? What is going on in our hearts? We just love and accept it all? That's a joke. Jesus is a sign of contradiction, right? And anyone who follows him is going to be a sign of contradiction in the world. Bank on it. Take that to the bank. If you really follow Jesus, you will be contradicted. People will speak against you. And Jesus promised it. Luke, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. And lest he be misunderstood, he goes on. Woe to you. Woe to you when all speak well of you. For their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. I know you're probably like, whoa, this has taken a dark turn. All I wanted to do was go to a morning mass, get brunch afterwards, and then laugh at Super Bowl commercials. What's going on? Why so dark? Well, it's not dark at all. It's just reality. Because on the cross, here's the good news. On the cross, Jesus contradicts all our contradictions. Let me say it again. On the cross, Jesus contradicts all our contradictions. His mercy is limitless. My personal contradictions, the contradictions of his family, of the church, the contradictions of this college, Jesus is more than all of those things. St. Paul says, wherever sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Wherever sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. But Jesus wants to set things right. And in order for him to do that, his light needs to expose things. So he's going to challenge us. He's going to challenge you. Don't be afraid of his light. Even if it exposes what is fundamentally dark and simply wrong in you, he only exposes that. He only shines the revealing light of his love. He only reveals those things to us so that he can heal it. Because he actually wants to set things right. So pray today for Christ's light to illumine your heart. Pray for it to illumine the church. Pray hard for it to illumine this college so that the darkness can be scattered and the light of life may shine brightly. Let me leave you with the strength of the Word of God. Three short quotes. St. Paul, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Jesus, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And most importantly, from the beginning of John's gospel, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it."